Good morning to everyone that's with us on, through the website for the third quarter 2014 results of Grupo Nutresa's conference call. I am here with Carlos Ignacio Gallegos, CEO of Grupo Nutresa. Also, we have Jose Domingo Penagos, CFO, and Alejandro Jimenez, Investor Relations Director of the company. Now let's listen to Carlos Ignacio Gallegos, CEO of Grupo Nutresa. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter 2014 results of Grupo Nutresa conference call. Before we look at the figures, I'd like to refer to some highlights of this third quarter 2014. Firstly, I'd like to highlight the excellent trade dynamics in Colombia. The quarterly sales growth is the highest recorded in the past 5 years, and this is incredibly important now that we see that 65% of our sales are domestic or in Colombia. In addition, we'd like to share with you that for the fourth year in a row, Grupo Nutresa was recognized as a member of the Dow Jones Sustainability World Index, which ratifies our strength in terms of sustainability. In our group, we believe that corporate sustainability is the capacity directly related to create value in the future. And it's also important to tell you that besides being with the DJSI, we were first in six aspects. Economic, we are number one in terms of conduct codes and innovation management. Environmentally, and risks related to water, and socially, in corporate citizenship, and in labor and human rights indicators. Another event that's worth highlighting is to share with you that we are completing the construction of a new crackers and snacks plant in Chile. This category is one that we have in several areas of the world. In Chile, the investment is $690 million, and initially beginning with 13. And to close these highlights of the quarter, we'd like to share with you that Grupo Nutresa, for the 6 years in a row, was stood out as the third company with the best goodwill in Colombia, and it's number one in reputation when it comes to the food sector. Now, keeping in mind these highlights, then, I invite you to look at slide 3 so that we can discuss about the accrued sales in Colombia and overseas. Looking at the sales in Colombia, we can see at the end of the third quarter there are accumulated sales of $3.58 billion with growth of 8.9%. This growth is above that displayed at the end of mid-year, which was at about 7.7%, and it's the result of an effective innovation of the strength that we have in distribution and the positioning of the brands that we have, which are highly appreciated in the country. As you can see, the accumulated growth in cold cuts is about 11%, crackers 10.2%, in chocolate 7.7%. In coffee, we dropped, but we've been recovering, and that minus 0.16%, it's important to explain. And you can see on the bottom of the graph that now in volume, we are at the same level, and the decrease is entirely due to the fact that the early on of the year, we made a distribution of price in which the consumer had the price advantage. Ice cream, we grew 12.1%, and pasta, 2.7%. In short, the accumulated, we see three categories growing above 10%, one at 7.7%, which is quite strong, and two others, which one that's growing and the other one is dropping, but showing the trend that's changing and growing compared to the prior quarter. In terms of international sales, We display an accumulated sale of $815.6 million. International sales were 34.2% of the sales of the group. And I'd like to highlight that there's an important contribution of Tresmontes Lucchetti that's so big that it really goes beyond the Venezuela. So those 815 are already absorbing it, the exchange rate of Venezuela, to which we devote a significant part of our prior teleconference. When we talk about these two reports and we move on to slide four, we can see that total accumulated sales of the group at the end of this quarter is at 4,646,000,000 pesos, up 13.3%. Mainly driven, as we said before, because of the excellent performance we have in Colombia and the contribution of Tresmontes Lucchetti's. Total sales then in cold cuts dropped 10.6%. If we look at the consolidation exchange rate of Colombia, it would be really higher. Crackers 8.9, chocolates 8.5, coffee minus 5.4, ice cream 10.9, pasta 2.7, and Tresmontes Lucchetti contributes 566 billion pesos. So this is a very good quarter in terms of the trade dynamics, and particularly what's worth highlighting where we have most of our sales, which is in Colombia. And we'll see this clear if we look at the quarterly sales in slide five. As you can see, in Colombia, we had sales for $1,086,000. And this 11% growth in terms of volume grew 8.3% and in price 2.5%. This growth is the highest of the past 5 years, and perhaps the last growth displayed like this, like in the last quarter of 2008. You can see that in cold cuts, we grew 12.2%, crackers 11.8%, chocolates 10.5%, coffee 2.1%, ice cream 12.6%, and pasta 6.7%. As you can see, all the categories grew, and four of them do it at rates above 10%. Coffee and pasta have a lower growth, as I told you before, because of the change of dynamics. The effective innovation of the company and the great marketing that we've done really drives the business, and we can see that this is seen a lot in Colombia. When it comes to international sales, we had sales for 228,000 million pesos, up 7.4%, and these figures grew compared to the prior year. And it's quite significant because last quarter they were dropping. If you would like to express the international sales in Colombian pesos, we're talking about a growth of 9.3%. In terms of the total quarter, which has to do with both figures that we can see in slide six, we can see a total sales is 1,643,000,000 pesos, up 10.4%. And here you can see in slide six, in cold cuts minus 10% because of Venezuela. If it wasn't for Venezuela, it would grow 11.6%. Crackers 8.5, chocolates 10.2, coffee minus 4.4, ice cream 10.1, pasta 6.7, and Tresmontes Lucchetti 189 million pesos. This quarter, then, ladies and gentlemen, as I told you in our highlights, really displayed excellent dynamics commercially. If we look at the sales per region, let's move on, please, to slide seven. Here you can see that Colombia is still the most important of the group in terms of sales, with 65.8% in sales, followed by Chile, 7.8% of our sales, then Central America, 7.3%, USA, 7%, and Mexico with 3.9%. Generally, we are growing more than the growth of all of the other countries where we operate. And this is also reflected, as I mentioned, because of the strength of the brands. Moving on to slide 8, we'd like to share with you the market share of Colombia. And again, we're pleased to tell you that in Colombia we have a market share that's historical. That in the prior or quarter, we had a market share of 60.3% weighted throughout all the countries. Now we are at 60.5%. And here we can compare year after year. In cold cuts, we have a market share of 73.2%. We're growing 0.5% compared to the same period last year. Crackers, 55.1% market share, up 1% growth. In chocolates, 66.8%, up 0.5%. In hot chocolate, 63.2%, 0.7%. In milk modifiers, we're growing 25.3%. But it's important to keep in mind that a significant percentage of this category in Colombia is distributed by others. In nuts, we changed our trend. We told you in the prior report that it was growing a lot and that we were losing a market share, but the growth was above 38%. And here we keep having this growth, but now the growth is at 0.6%. In toasted and ground coffee, we're growing minus 2% because of aggressive competitors. But we have been recovering our position at 55.9% of the market share. Instant coffee, 41.7% of market share. When the leader, which is a multinational that you all know of, is at 44.9%, we're really close. And the idea is to lead. In ice cream, there is no official record in Colombia, but we are leaders, far from the second. In pasta, we have a 51.9% market share, up 1.1%. And complementing the information of Colombia, we'd like to share with you that we have Chile, where we have 63.4% of the market share in instant cold beverages. In pasta, 21.1% and 16.5% market share in coffee. And in Mexico, which is also very important for us, we have 31.1% market share of cold beverages. This is very important in terms of market share, the strength of the brands, the strength of our distribution channels, and making great launches of innovative products gives way to explain not only these market share levels, but consequently the great results that we display commercially. Now talking about the commodities, as you can see in slide 9, we can look at the commodities index. The average of the year shows an increase of this index, especially because of the performance of proteins, cocoa, and coffee, and compensated partially by lower prices of wheat, sugar, and oils. We foresee that this performance will not be worse. Really, the lower prices of soy and oils will help us with the protein price in the future. We also see that there are some changes in trends in commodities like cocoa, while coffee is quite volatile. For the rest of this year, we had explained that Grupo Nutresa has a strategy to handle risks when it comes to handling commodities. And we said that if we combine the physical inventories that we have with the with the derivatives we have to cover these rigs, we have derivatives close to 68% of what we need for the rest of the year. So I'd say that the impact of the cost of these commodities is reflected in our results and should not degrade, but instead we think that in the future it could be even favorable. When it comes to the list of commodities, there are no large variations compared to those recorded in the middle of the year. Our commodities, the one that's most important is related to packaging materials, as you can see on slide 10, which is 11%, followed by pork 8.6, coffee 7.7, wheat 6.2, and cocoa 4.6%. We've mentioned that to have a list of categories and a list like the one we see here is of an advantage when it comes to handling these communities, because there are some natural coverages, and as I told you before, the decrease of prices of some covers partially the increases of others. So there's a commodities landscape that's favorable with a trend that will improve. Next, we will listen to Jose Domingo Benagues, who will share with you several comments related to the profitability of the group during this quarter. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning to you all. To talk about profitability, I invite you to look at slide 11. Here we'll talk about the EBITDA that's consolidated and accumulated of the group at September. And here we must highlight that the EBITDA, it remains above the range on a long-term basis. It's worth highlighting the margin up 13.8% throughout this year. The magnitude 624 million pesos and growth 11.2% compared to the same period the year before. Let me tell you why we have these results. First, because of the excellent trade dynamics, as we saw before, specifically in Colombia, that great trade dynamics helps us a lot to dilute the fixed cost. Also, it comes from the innovations. Let me tell you about the innovations, which give us a more profitable mix. I'll talk about that ahead. The second component of this profitability is the global supply strategy that the group has. We have a policy and a strategy of coverages, both physical and financial. We'll talk about the percentage of coverage for the rest of the year ahead, and that really has helped us to face certain volatility of some raw materials. Third is the productivity. It's been growing 5.5% so far this year, and this really contributes to the profitability. Lastly, I'd like to refer to sales for innovation. We talked about this before. Sales for innovation are equivalent to 7.3% of total sales of the group. And as I said before, they really contribute to the group's profitability. This is an overall of the group. Let me tell you some comments about the businesses. Let's begin with cold cuts. We have a margin of 13.4%. There's a decrease of 10.4%, but it's basically because of the effect of Venezuela. So without Venezuela, the cold cuts would have a higher margin, close to the mid-range of the long-term strategy of the group. In crackers, the margin is 13.6%. This has to do with innovation, and it's really proper management of raw materials. You can see that it grew 16.3% with the EBITDA. The business of chocolates has a basic effect from the growth of the commodities of cocoa specifically, and that's why it has this minus 13.1%, but still with that cost of cocoa, it's growth to 40%, so it's at 12.7%, which is close to the mid-range. When it comes to ice cream, it's got a higher level at 16.8%, very much higher to what we had established. And in ice cream, the topic is more related to innovation, new products, and in ice cream, we really relate to innovation a lot. It's pivotal for this business. When it comes to coffee, we have an EBITDA much higher than the range at 19.7%. And here, basically, what's applied is that although the commodity is volatile, the spread and everything that we've had at the time of purchase has been proper and allowed the business to remain at very good profitability levels. With pasta, we see that the range is at 10.5%. It's improving. We'll see it more focused during this quarter, but during the last quarter, but I'd say that there's a change of trend in pasta. Now we have an EBITDA that's higher, and it's seeking a range that's of the group. In Tres Montes Locote, we see a better margin. It's recovering from the lower performance of the last quarter. Remember that due to the impact of Mexico, but now we have an EBITDA of 11.9%. So really the accumulator of the profitability levels regarding EBITDA is quite good. If we look at the third quarter, let's move on to slide 12. Here we see that the EBITDA of this third quarter is good. Margin of 13.7%, higher than that of last year. And here we can see some effects of the different business. In cold cuts, what we saw before, now you can see that there's a better effect with Venezuela. In crackers, 13.8 is very good. Here there's an impact of the marketing investments management and the launch of new lines, which was properly made for this concept of chocolates. Even with the growth of or the increased cost of cocoa, we're looking at price strategy management, and this 13.5% EBITDA, as you can see in the graph, is great. Coffee, there it also continues with a great level of profitability. Here in coffee, we have more higher prices, but still, the EBITDA margin is 15.8%, which is way above even the range of the group. In ice cream, the EBITDA has great trade dynamics this quarter, and the efficiency of operations is also good. So ice cream is not only when it comes to innovation, but also it has to do with the proper management of its costs and its operations during this quarter. And pasta, although we had a drop last quarter, now it's at 11.4%. It's grown up 7%. So again, we have the pasta, which is showing a change in trend, which is great for this business unit. Tres Montes Lucchetti displays a quarter with results above those of the first quarter of the year, 12.8% of EBITDA margin. And this basically because here you can see more of the impact of the recovery in Mexico and the international businesses of Tres Montes. So we also have a margin in the quarter sustaining and growing 12.8% compared to what we had last year. If we join all of the results, the operating results that we just mentioned in sales and EBITDA, I invite you to look at slide 13 to look then at the income statement at September. This income statement shows revenues of $4.6 million, an EBITDA, and as you can see, here is the gross profit. What we traditionally look at are the operating and post-operating profits. Here you can see great sale growth. It's solid. A good sales, also cost growth. That's lower, and in expenses, we still have the effect of the consolidation of Tres Montes Lucchetti, which begins in September 2013. So this makes the operating revenue grow 5.7%. And this is basically because we still have the effect of the amortization from the acquisition of Tres Montes Lucchetti. And I'd like to remind you that this is an expense which basically goes to accounting but is, does not affect cash. The EBITDA grows 11.36% and it's 11.5 million pesos more than last year. When it comes to post-operating, we must highlight it again, the higher effect of the leverage of the acquisition of Tres Montes Lucchetti, which took place September last year. In addition, and this practically represents that the financial expenses have doubled since last year to this year. In addition, we have a lower income tax because of the amortization of the intangibles for fiscal purposes. So this leads us to a net profit of 260,185 million pesos, dropping 7.1%. Now when it comes to income statement, particularly of the third quarter, let's move on to slide 14. And here, if we look at the operating and post-operating effects, we have a quarter of 1.6 billion pesos in the revenues, and EBITDA of 224,000 million pesos. And in the operating block during this quarter, we also see a higher growth of 10%, basically driven by Tres Montes Lucchetti, because of the months it's consolidated, and also what happened in Venezuela, which grew 2.4%. Costs grew at a rate above revenues, which we just saw. And however, the decreased costs allows us to sustain the operating profitability. And the margin goes from 13.4 to 13.7% in the quarter. When it comes to post-operating items, besides financing of Tres Montes Lucchetti, we also have, last year, we had a gain for exchange difference, in, which was made in dollars. We don't have it this year. Now there's a variation. Last year we had a revenue of 3.5 million pesos. We don't have it this year. And in addition, in 2013, we had a profit after selling assets that we had in 2013, and it's not accounted for this year. So these are the most relevant variations delivered, which deliver a net result of 91,000 million pesos, decreasing 11.6% compared to the year before. Now let's move on, please, to slide 15 to talk about the consolidated net indebtedness. As you can see, we've reached a level of 2.0 EBITDA level. It's quite stable. It's quite similar to what we showed in the second quarter of this year. And this shows that the leverage for us is quite proper, close to 1.8 billion pesos. With regard to CapEx, accrued to September is at about 250,000 million pesos. This CapEx already includes the plant that we mentioned at the beginning of this presentation. And as I explained in the prior conference, we have an expectation to finish this CapEx at the end of this year at 350,000 to 400,000 million pesos. And most of these investments are of logistics centers, and we can say some property tax and proceedings took a bit longer, but they're going ahead, and the expectation is to complete the implementation from 350 to 400 million pesos, 1,000 million pesos. So if we look at the indebtedness of CapEx, here we could talk about biopower and what capacity we have here for eventual acquisitions in the future. And what we can say is that if we use the indicator that traditionally we've had of 2.5 times, we can talk about $200 million for acquisitions, but also we can talk about close to $400 million if we accept the rating that we have today. And we believe that this will give us the capacity to keep growing through acquisitions in the group by using the capacity of financing that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, this ends the indebtedness segment. And now Carlos Ignacio will talk about perspectives we have for 2014. Thank you. With regards to perspectives, what we see for the next quarter is a very positive trade dynamic. We will continue. What we've seen in October has been very positive. So our forecast will be a great trend. When it comes to international sales, these will also have a good performance, although we think that it won't be as strong or in the same proportion that in Colombia. With regards to Venezuela, we will continue consolidating. Everything we do there, we will continue working to reach our mega to double by 2020. And when it comes to costs, as I said before, we foresee stability with commodities, with a favorable trend in several of them, and also keeping in mind that the price leverage is at hand. And if we require it, we'll use it to improve our profitability, provided it won't affect our sustainability. In terms of profitability, we forecast to maintain the profitability level in a high range as we've defined in the group. Remember, we aspire to have an EBITDA above 12 to 14%, and we expect to close the year in the higher range. That, I believe, summarizes the perspective. And now let's listen to Alejandro to begin the Q&A session. Next, we will begin the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, those that are connected through the webcast can make your question, and it will be read per se. For those that are listening through a teleconference, we'd like to for you to please give us your name and the company you work at when you begin your question. Likewise, we suggest to limit your questions so that we can give the opportunity to everybody that would like to make them. Thank you. Now let's begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star followed by number one on your phone. If you'd like to remove your or withdraw your question, press star followed by two. If you have a speaker, please use the headset before. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star followed by one on your phone. And we have Sergio Matsumoto on the line with a question. Hello, good morning. Sergio Matsumoto from Citigroup and the team of Alex Torres. Congratulations for the quarter results. My question. In the segments of chocolates and coffee, it seems that prices grew in the quarter. And I'd like to know how the customers received these higher prices, how they reacted, and if it's sustainable to have this higher price. Thank you, Sehir, for your question. First, the figures that you see are weighted because each of these businesses handle different segments. It's true that in the chocolates business, with regards to table chocolates, there was an increase, but it didn't take place in the categories or when it comes to chocolate bars. Overall, what we see is that the prices grew at percentages very well controlled, and they're very sustainable. When it comes to coffee, what you can see in price, as we saw in the market share, the performance of soluble coffee is much stronger than that which is grounded. So here what we can see is a change of the sales mix. So although we use the leverage all in chocolate, the performance of the mix, sales mix was favorable, and we do not foresee that we have to make any amendments or changes on a short-term basis. December is a period that has different packages, like Christmas packages, and also this gives way to higher prices. So this increase is small, below 4% in table chocolates, and when it comes to the sales mix, and it's sustainable, but it's helpful, as you've mentioned, to improve the profitability, yes, and it's reflected in the results we're sharing with you. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Now let's read a question from the webcast. I have a question from Laura Salamanca from Corredores Asociados, and her question is, good morning. I'd like to understand, what are the challenges of the pasta business when it comes to new players like Colombina? Why is the margin of the segment lower than that of the group, and why it's been dropping for the year? Laura also would like to know what impacted the margin of Tres Montes Lucchetti in the third quarter compared to the second quarter, which was 13.5%. Okay, let me answer the first question, and the rest will be answered by José Domingo Penagos. The pasta category is very important for Grupo Nutresa. We are present in Chile, Colombia, and I mentioned in our previous teleconference, also in Mexico. The question made by Laura focuses basically in Colombia, and we can say in the past year, this category has been practically with showing no growth. Colombia has a consumption per capita that's low compared to that of Chile, for instance. In Colombia, we're below 3 kilos per person a year. And what's happened is that there's been a combination of two factors. One, that low growth of volumes makes us not to be able to capture economies of scale. And second, although we've seen a good performance of wheat on a low trend, what we need to bring that wheat has grown, has been up. I'd also like to clarify that if we look at the EBITDA graphs, the EBITDA accrued at the end of the third quarter in pasta is of 10.5%, while that of the quarter is 11.4%. So it's the other way. In the second quarter, what shows is some recovery of the EBITDA. Lastly, and I think it's the most important part of the question, it's what is the challenge? Look, Colombina is new in Colombia, but Colombina will be importing. It doesn't have a plant in Colombia. It made an adventure with an important company in Turkey, and it will import its products to gain market share. We treat Colombina with a lot of respect, and we think that we will be impacted because the exchange with the dollar, surely we will be, they will be less competitive. Yes, we have a challenge, but we are prepared with our renovations and strong marketing strategies to overcome and, with all due respect, win them over. The other comment I'd like to say is that the portion that we aspire to reach in Mexico is higher than the one of Colombina in Colombia. Which, so really at the end, we'll have a larger pasta business in Mexico, and we work humbly but soundly to defend our positions in the marketplace, and we will be competing with courage and strength to face that challenge and others that we will be facing. With regards to the question of the margin of Tres Montes Lucchetti, although it's true that in this quarter it's lower than that of the prior quarter of 13.4%, and now it's 12.8%, we can say that there's nothing special that happened at Tres Montes Locatie. The trade dynamics in Chile and Mexico are doing well. We had an impact in the first quarter in Mexico. So I'd say better that the performance was exceptional. The 13.8% is and it's relevant for Tres Montes. And I'd like for you to look at the accrued margin of 12.8% and the uptrend of this margin. But really, there's nothing special in this period of Tres Montes that gives way to a red flag regarding its profitability. We can say we're at a mid-range of the group, and an uptrend is for sure. Is there a question? Yes, we have a question from Andres Soto. Please go ahead. Good, thank you, Andres Soto from Santander. My question relates to the expected development of margins. Carlos Ignacio, you said that the perspectives are positive because of the commodities and the inventories you have when you factorize the appreciation of the currencies that you use. How do you see this effect? That's the first question. And the other component, when it comes to the competitive position of Nutresa, the exchange rate, what's the effect of it? As you highlighted with Colombina, you could have a better position because you are local producers than importers. That surely will happens in other categories that you participate in. So tell me about the trade dynamics, how you can be benefited because of these depreciation effects. Thank you, Andres. Now let me respond to your questions. Let me talk about the perspective of the end of the year. As I said before, we have spreads with derivatives that are great, that allow us to have a good forecast for the year end. Of the months that we still have this year, we know that we have high expenses because of special activities that we carry out because what happens in December in Colombia particularly. So that allows us to forecast or to close the year with a profitability on the high side for this year. The question with regards to exchange rate will be answered more for 2015 because there's where you can try to estimate effects. What I can say is that if there's a possible devaluation of peso and dollar, there are positive and negative effects. The positive, we can mention that we have more than 65% market share in Colombia, and many of the strong competitors are mainly importers. So definitely, if there's a devaluation, practically in all the categories in which we operate in Colombia, the position compared to imported products strengthens. And that is a favorable for us. If we look at unfavorable effects, we have to say that this group has also a list of imported raw materials. And if you cross what we import and export, we're talking about a difference of $250 million. Why don't I talk about a negative effect? Because this position is constantly studied, and we make spreads over these $250 million. So what we foresee is that there could be an effect, but as we cover it, we could try to capture it positively and to minimize the negative aspects. However, I would like to give you peace of mind that this is not a company that bases its results on the exchange rate. This is something that we handle, yes, but our strength is commercially our innovation, sustainable developments, and we manage risks based on exchange rate. So we feel prepared to face this. We know that there are effects on both sides, but really the exposure of the group is low. And it's not that we're planning a coverage. We are already covered in this aspect. Thank you, Andres. Thank you. I have a question from the webcast, Rafael España from Telcinco. Good morning, congratulations for your sales results, and thank you for sharing this time with us. I have questions about the balance sheet. What's the component that explains the variation of the deferred assets? Second, the level if current level of inventories is high or stable? And third, keeping in mind the current Colombian economy, the increased rate, higher interest rates, and the oil price, how do you see the performance of the company's accounts receivable? Do you see stability or any modifications? Good morning, Rafael. Your questions have to do with work capital. Let's talk about the deferreds. Indeed, there's a decrease in the deferreds in assets since 2013 to 2015, and this has many reasons. Let me mention several. First is the decrease of the deferred tax. The charges also decreased. We have another item. Last year, we had a project in which there were charges for technology that the group had to adopt and implement the SAP. Last year, we don't have that this year, and some improvements in third-party property that we had last year, we don't have in this year. So these are the most relevant that are accounted to those 255 million pesos. The other question refers to the inventory level. I'd like to answer with our turnovers. To this date, we have about 86 days of inventories. Last year, we had 81. That variation in days is given because of the change of the accounting system of how we purchase raw materials, especially Tres Montes, Lucchetti, wheat. It was done before through a supplier, and we decided to separate this. We purchase the inventories, and we get financing differently, so this reflects the difference of days. Do we think it's high or low? We think that the composition of our plants and the sales through the modern and stores channels is good. When it comes to the future, we could see a difference in Tres Montes Lucchetti. Before, they produced instant cold beverages, but now with the plant, perhaps the inventory level can optimize and improve a bit. And the last question has to do with accounts receivable. To this date, our accounts receivable is at 69 days, the same days we recorded last year. And really, because of the relationship we have with Commerce in general, we do not foresee any increases. The trade dynamics is doing well. Procurement levels are well, so we do not see any bad effects on a medium and long-term basis on accounts receivable. I think that we will remain stable. Is there any other question in the teleconference? No? Thank you. We have Diego Guzman with another question. Good morning. Thank you for taking my two questions. One, what do you expect when it comes to the EBITDA margin of Tres Montes Lucchetti, especially because of the effect of Mexico? Do you think that there could be impacts that could take place still? And second, what's your capacity for acquisitions? Have you been analyzing any new acquisitions to boost your growth? Well, thank you, Diego, for your questions. When it comes to Chile, perhaps the first comment is that thanks to the discussions made between the Chilean government and the private sector in Chile, the reform made there was not as aggressive as we believed it would be initially. And I'd like to say that most of the assumptions we used for the valuation conducted to purchase the Montes Lucchetti are ongoing and were not affected in the reform. We do not foresee that the result of this reform will affect the EBITDA. Yes, there is a reaccommodation like in other areas. Yes, there is an increased tax, but the EBITDA will not modify. So we do not see any dramatic changes with Tres Montes Lucchetti. And we say that it's still a very important acquisition for the group because of the capacity it provides and the access it provides to a region that's so important to us. Second, with regards to our acquisition capacity, the challenge of reaching our mega and doubling by 2020 is based on combining the organic growth and acquisitions. And this group, this work is ongoing. As we've mentioned before, we're looking at countries where we have good private enterprises, good growth, where we can apply our capacities. And given that we are listed, we cannot disclose the businesses until they are closed and meeting the steps pointed out by the authorities in different countries. But it's still ongoing, and we haven't reported everything because things are still ongoing, underway. But in due time, we will disclose this, but we continue working on this. Grupo Nutresa innovates and works to grow organically. It's aggressive commercially, but also it wants to make acquisitions. That's our track. Thank you. We have a question of Juan Cerrato. Good morning. Juan Camilo Cerrato from Porvenir. I have three questions. One is the decrease of sales of coffee internationally as well as the EBITDA of chocolate. Second, I'd like to understand better when you talk about the growth of organic sales excluding Venezuela, are you including the organic growth of Tres Montes Lucchetti? And third, I'd like to understand better the dynamics of the exchange difference. Why does this item decrease? Is this related to Venezuela or to other factors? Thank you. Thank you, Juan. Let me answer the first question, and then Jose Domingo can answer the rest. When it comes to the international decrease of coffee, we've mentioned in one of our prior teleconferences, this is basically because of some large industrial businesses in the U.S. where there was a change of customer base, and we're working to recover that volume through other businesses. In terms of the decrease of the chocolate EBITDA, I'd like to say that this EBITDA that we have at the end of this quarter is very good if you keep in mind the performance of cocoa. I mean, in chocolates specifically, it's because of the change of the raw material. Although in the full pie, Grupo Nutresa's cocoa is only 4.6%, we must say that in chocolates, that same cocoa is more than 30% of the cost structure. So what happened specifically that taking care of the company with the future vision, not all of the impact could be transferred to consumers. And as we said before, only in some categories of chocolate and in segments and specific geographies, we touched price. And that's why there's a decrease, but without getting out of the corridor. So what do we see now? There's a change of trend, and surely a chocolates business in the future will display better profitability levels. For your second question, Jose Domingo will answer it. Okay, there was another block that has to do with organic sales, every time you look at the calculations of organic sales, it's without Tres Montes Lucchetti's acquisition. Why do we complement this calculation, this administrative calculation, with ex Venezuela? Because of the SICA 2. So when we say that organic ex Venezuela, it means that without the sales of Tres Montes Lucchetti and without the revenues from Venezuela, so it can be entirely comparable. With regards to the exchange difference, the specific exchange that we discussed last year, the operation to acquire Tres Montes was made in dollars. We accumulated those dollars and we had a profit of about 10,000 million pesos in that operation. We started to collect the dollars and we paid in the transactions. This year, we do not have revenues for that, and that's why, basically, why you can see the difference of this item. Thank you. Next question from Herman Zuniga. Good morning for everyone. Thank you. Congratulations for your results. My question relates to the list of raw materials. I'd like to know briefly, right now, after the packaging material, we see that pork is second in importance. Are there coverage strategies of inventories and suppliers, keeping in mind that this commodity is new and it's surpassing coffee in importance? What do you have any plans for this? Herman, it's my pleasure to answer. We see that each commodity has a strategy. When it comes to pork, Grupo Nutresa's strategy is that we're importing the pork and also purchasing it locally. When it comes to the one we import, in the past year we've had a market that's uptrend, especially because of the cow fever in Colombia, in the States, and because of international instability. What we've done is that we have good local producers. The group has a division that works genetically and promotes with small pork raisers to have more local pork. One of the strategies that we're using, not only with regards to this commodity and keeping in mind that devaluation, is to increase our domestic producers, and we're prepared for this. We've been working on this for cold cuts, and we have different allies. Also, this has a significant social effect because we're working with small farmers, but we do have a strategy. Also, we mentioned that in the future, lower prices of soy and corn, which are very important for protein, surely will have effects in the international market. Thank you. Thank you. Next question from Sebastian Moreno. Good morning. Is it possible to please expand on the financial revenues? Thank you. Sebastian, yes. Financial revenues at the end of this quarter, 10.9 thousand million, last year 8.2 thousand million. This is because of the management of the liquidity we've had during the year. It's not our purpose to have robust financial revenues. Of course, we look at the cash of the for the businesses, and while we use it for the business and the capex, and we make investments. Very orthodoxly, there's a slight increase of almost 3,000 million pesos. In percentage, it's 33% high, but it's basically because of management of liquidity. We do this in the financial markets. We do not speculate with that money, and that's why we see that growth. Thank you. Please provide your company name when you ask the question. Right now, I have a question from Francisco Schumacher. Hello, Francisco Schumacher from BBC. Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations for your results. My first question relates to the cold cut segment. I see that because of Venezuela, it reduces the EBITDA of the group, but that estimates that the EBITDA margin would increase more because you decrease it because of Venezuela effects. Do you really have a lower margin because of Venezuela? Is it only because of Venezuela? Did you have it in Colombia? Is there a reason behind that? My second question has to do with Chile. It was partially already answered, but I did not perceive an adjustment with regards to deferred taxes because of the reform in Chile, as it happened in many other Chilean businesses or enterprises. Will this happen in the future, or no adjustments were made? And related to this, what explains the decrease of the 26.3 drop when in the taxes, when in Chile all taxes are growing? Francisco, let me take the question on cold cuts, and then Jose Domingo can answer the other questions. First, it's true that the effect of consolidating Venezuela with the CICA 2 rate, I mean, when Venezuela has an EBITDA below that of Colombia in the cold cut business, the weighted average increases. But as I said, last year we've seen a different performance that's more adverse than what we see today when it comes to the performance of pork and cow. We see that there's an uptrend, and we've always said that we're very careful to not affect the size of the market. Thanks to that, we are achieving higher market shares than expected, increasing our sales above 10%. So, even if this margin is high, above that of last year, it's compensating the higher cost of raw materials. And that, on a medium-long-term basis, has a very significant effect because we have a problem.